This is a Gathering Heritage project interview recorded in County Louth in Ireland.
Now, I'm delighted to welcome GatheringHeritage.com, Joan Brady. And Joan, of course, I've interviewed her on the radio many, many times about loads of different things, about marathons, Keep Fit, radios, women's rights, you name it, I've interviewed her about. But Joan, I'm going to talk to you this morning about something completely different.
Hello, Harry. How are you? And lovely to meet you again.
And Joan, this is something that you were involved with from the very beginning, and it had great effect on Ireland, North and South, which we'll tell people now in a second what it's about. But it had a great effect that it opened up people from Dundalk or from the Republic going up to the north and from the north coming down to Dundalk. Of course, it is, or down to the south. It is called, of course, the peace train.
Even relations would say to you, I don't really go up to the north. There was that thing about it. You didn't go up to do your shopping. Then, of course, everything changed over the years. I was listening to reports on BBC and I suddenly realised, this is dreadful. This is only down or up the road, all the fighting, the killing and whatnot. So I rang up Bride Rosny, who later became a special advisor to Mary Robinson, our President Mary Robinson, a wonderful lady who's involved with lots of things. I think she worked in RTE and she's also involved with Interest with the Blind. And I said to her, I'm just an ordinary housewife, but I feel dreadful. Is there anything we can do? So she referred me to Women Together. And Pat Campbell there coerced me into joining Women Together, go up to the north and listen to what they say to inform us here in the south that the ordinary everyday people are our friends, but spoiled by bigger issues.
And Joan, the Women Together, was that, what kind of an organisation was that?
That was for ordinary women to come together and say, let's stand up as women and have our viewpoints made because we don't want this going on. And it was a very, very balanced, even little organisation. And they became my friends over the years. And Pat Campbell might be remembered for having all sorts of things that happened, members of the family and that, no more than anybody else. And she was a wonderful lady and lots of people like that. So in turn then, she had introduced me to the Ashgrove Community Centre in Portadown. And that's where my story really begins or began, because we were with real people talking about real things. We also were with them for fun, for information.
All about the troubles.
All about the troubles. But sometimes I'd be talking to a nice lady and she might tell me that her son had gone down a wrong road, you know. And then I'd be talking to the lady beside her and they'd both been very friendly with each other, saying, well, my son was okay, but I was a bit worried about him. And so they were everyday people. And so myself and Agnes Dignam, my friend, a member of Peace Train. And the next thing, I got a phone call from Chris Hudson, who later became a Reverend Chris Hudson. And he rang me and said, Joan, would you like to join Peace Train? So this was around the
80s. Did you know anything about the Peace Train at that time?
Not really, except the threat to the train. And then the name was inspired and came about. And from that day on, for the next 5 years or so, I belonged to it. And I used to go to Dublin at least once a month. And I remember, Harry, coming back in the dark, going across the Liffey and getting the last bus back to Dundalk. But to me, it was something I felt I was part of. And we used to travel, my friend Agnes, to Portadown. We went to Christmas parties. We saw the horrors of life. We saw the good things of life. But one thing we had in common, that we were all friends.
And you were going down there, when you were going down to have a good time, did you go down on the train?
We went on the train and Agnes would be in the train and she'd say, Joan, I'd put my head out the door to let you know what carriage I'm in. And we'd sit there and we'd be slightly uncomfortable for a while. I mean, it did exaggerate itself eventually, that every time you got on a train, you actually thought Peace Train, you know, the threat of the bullet or the bomb, let's say. And but we went up and we did all sorts of events there. We went up and we did very peaceful gatherings, and we did them in the main street in Portadown.
Now, before we go down that road, John, the first train that, how did you come up with the idea of a train and getting, I think, was what, 1,500 people on the first
That's right. It was fantastic. And Chris Hudson made a major role in that. He was wonderful. And if you like, the first year I was in the process of joining, and this was the plan. But we all met together, and indeed Michael Palin, who has done great train journeys, he was very interested in this. So Sam McAutrey, who is a very known member of the university, a writer in residence, and wrote on Sunday Miscellany. He was the senior executive member in the north, and we were introduced and we got very friendly. And he and I went up a few times on a train as if we were passengers to get the feel of what it was.
Yeah, that's what was going to be my next question, Jeff, yes. Because you by going up and down, you did get the feeling, and it could have been a disaster.
Oh, it could have been disaster, but you had to take that chance. And all the time that you were there, be it Portadown. Now, that train, we went to Belfast, and then others joined us from Derry. And I'll always remember arriving back in Dublin, in Eamon Street, as we called it, Connolly, and all the hundreds of people getting out of the train. You know, the late Brendan McGann, everybody was there. And they were all people of the same feelings. We are very ordinary people and we don't want trouble. We want peace. And of course, on the way up on a journey, there were stones, I remember, hit at the glass, and we weren't sure. And the BBC people who were there interviewing people, they ran down very quickly to see, was this real? Well, one didn't know if it was real. And I remember we had Frank Godfrey then, the councillor in Drogheda, and where he was sitting, there was a big bang on the window pane. We thought, oh my goodness me.
And was this on the first train going down?
This was on this big train, yes, that took the trip, which was embracing Derry and everywhere, and was also embracing all the different people being covered by BBC.
Did it stop in Dundalk?
Did it stop in Dundalk? It did indeed. It did indeed. We got on at Dundalk. We did indeed. And there were quite a number of people, to my surprise and delight, if you like. And we went. And of course, it stopped at Portadown and Newry and finally reached its destination.
Now, before we chat about what happened when you got to Belfast,
yes,
how did they get out to the public to be able to get 1,500 people, and how much did it pay going down? What was the fare?
Well, I remember talking on a lot of radio stations, you know, and people like your good self, Jerry Ryan, took it on board very much, and because I was later to organise a Mother's Day walk for peace around Stephen's Green, and it was the actual day. After, and I'm going a little bit ahead about the Warrington on those two little boys, and the English rugby team are coming to play in Lansdowne against Ireland. And because I'd been over there already with the awful, horrific death of the two little boys, they had agreed that when they would come to visit Ireland, and I had my table up to the College of Surgeons with my women from the north. I'd already done with Anne Olivia a little interview with them saying what we would be doing. And indeed, some of our politicians and all came and wished good luck. And they signed hundreds and hundreds of peace signatures and recognised it, because Peace Train had been collecting and going forth for 1 million signatures. But we had all these. So when we arrived, the BBC were terribly interested, because they were thinking, as I suppose today, in many ways, of the politics of the whole thing. Maybe they were a little bit scared too.
John, can I ask you how it came up with the idea of the train? Because was it ever done before in any other part of the world, or who came up with the idea?
I wouldn't think so, no. Just where I related there to Michael Palin, that was great train journeys, but they were of a very happy situation where they would go to places where nobody else would go. So he decided that he would love to add this to his whole event. And he was a wonderful man. And I remember he interviewed myself and Sam, and we had great fun with him. And then he got in touch with the, do you remember the new singing priest that came along? And I think they took half our slot of the show, but we didn't mind. They'd been on the Late Late Show and all. Anything that gave a little bit of publicity was all going our way. And from that, from going up to Portadown, where perhaps a person would very, very politely say, I don't think anybody from the South should come into this shop, if you know what I mean. I'll always remember that. I think that was one of the most terrifying one-liners to give. So we facilitated, even though an hour later, I and many others stood in a group in the centre of Portadown, and we would get a few catcalls and that. But ironically enough, things began to ease out a bit with the people like the mothers and the women. And I knew that the women together, and all of these people were coming together. And if they had maybe a son or a daughter who was going down the wrong road, they would advise them. And of course, Peace Train lasted till about 95. But within that short time, a lot happened. A lot was discovered.
Joan, I saw a little clip a few days ago on YouTube, I think it was,
yes.
About the journey down. And the thing that struck me was the amount, this was the train going from Dublin down,
yes.
The amount of young people and young, well-educated young fellas that were talking, like solicitors or something
indeed,
like that. And
indeed.
Like it wasn't just the ordinary person
who
went down.
Not at all. And I mean, there was very good behaviour on the train. And I mean, I have to look at the young people, they are our future, and we can expect great things of them. But at that time, everybody was so well behaved. There was a great atmosphere of excitement. I mean, lots of the people that you were talking to, and the BBC went around and they'd say things like, well, have you been up in Belfast recently? And it was amazing the number of people that had never crossed the border, you know, to visit people. They never did it. The North wasn't part unless you had a relation. And then, of course, things began to change, as you know, between the shopping and all that sort of thing. But it was very inspiring.
Now, Joan, we've talked about the train coming from Dublin to Belfast.
Yes.
But then let's go the other way. And how did you, or were you able to, or how you obviously got support.
Yes.
But how did that happen with the people in the North?
Well, a lot of the people in the North came down to Dublin, or came up to Dublin. Take which one you wish. And we always have great arguments. Is it down to Dublin or is it up to Dublin? But anyway, and they came down. And that was one big day in their life. And they were delighted. I mean, I think people had a vision that there'd be all sorts of things.
So they would come down in another train? And
no, they came down. Many people got on at Belfast. And many people had got on from Derry. They went out to Derry, came back to Belfast. It was a full whole day. So I had gone from Dublin, but came back again all the way to Dublin. And many of the people, the BBC, everybody was still on that train. And many people coming to Dublin. They wanted to come down and all of that. And that was what their wish was.
So when they came down, then they got the peace train then back down with you lot down.
Exactly, exactly. And everybody spoke and there was a great air of excitement. This was something new, in inverted commas, and this was something they wanted. And that's what we want. And we want that ever more now, because those good people are there.
Now, Joan, this was, of course, the Good Friday Agreement wasn't done at that time.
That's right. And I mean, I have lots of photographs there, and I have Bertie Ahern and Ian Paisley, and they talking about the Good Friday Agreement. So like lots of things followed on, of course. They were very turbulent years, and of course turbulent years to happen still and continue, because of course it had spread out everywhere. But somehow or another, the peace train was remembered for a short time. But even that short time, I felt, we ordinary women felt, and the men, we met all the Lord Mayors of the day, everybody very, very nice. And this was kind of extraordinary, that in your one country of whatever the total population was, that you were sort of talking to kind of strangers and yet not. So we built up a relationship, and I know others and hundreds built up relationships.
Because there was a committee, Joan, the Belfast from the north, wasn't there? And a committee
you were on. Yes, well, I mean, we had invitees at time, and Sam McGawtry and different people. And of course, somebody I'm sure you know very well, Pete St. John. And Pete St. John, of course, wrote and he did all the Fields of Athenry, didn't he? He was a great songster. He got a Peace Prize. He actually did a little verse of Oma when that tragedy had happened. And he wrote and sang it. And he was a wonderful guy. And he would come where I would go each Saturday for weeks before and after Peace Train to collect the million signatures that we want to bring. And myself and Michael Nugent, New Consensus, who wrote Aikino, yes, he and Chris Hudson and myself, I got this wonderful message to say, Joan, you're going to Manchester. And this was just after the match between the two countries. And we went back and Mary Robinson was over there. And that was a wonderful time. And we went to the actual little place on the street outside the McDonald's for the two little boys. But we became great friends of the parents and all the work that went on. And if you like, Peace Train was a kind of a headline for a lot of those things that happened. Emerging from Peace Train. Chris Hudson was a wonderful guy. He later went on to be a reverend up in the north. I haven't met him for quite a number of years, but I've met other people. Sean O'Quinney that was there too. He died. And then we had Tulkeroe going back. We did some of the cast who did all the signing. And I'm sure, have you heard, Harry? Now, you're a young man, Harry. I wonder, did you remember the Stunning? Can you remember the name?
I can remember, but I don't know.
Well, they were a group, a band, and they wore silver, I think, and they gave me a silver pen. And one of those guys happened to be down Henry Street, and they were doing a show, and he came back. He said he heard there were signatures going for Peace. He came back and signed the book. And that was wonderful.
To get a few very high-profile people.
Oh, absolutely. And there were queues galore. Often when you look back at 6:30 on RTE, going back in time, actually there's one. I had a laugh because I appeared talking to different people who were going to sign the book. And that will often be replayed from time to time. It's just interesting to see it over a number of years.
Now, again, when you went down and stopped at Portadown, there was people there waiting on you and shaking hands with you.
There were people there. It stopped. I remember getting out because my Peace people were in Portadown. Now, I have to say, not hundreds got in at Portadown. Some might have gone on to Belfast for all we knew, but Anna Fowler told me that a lot of people were there. Some were nervous, but they were aware of it and wished it all the best.
And Joan, where did the train have to stop when the stones and that? There was a bomb scare.
Yes, I whereabouts think it was round about Lisburn, just before you came into Belfast. Yes, and there was a bit of worry over that, you know. And that didn't actually repeat itself in the way of a bomb, but it repeated itself many times on the train. You know, it was, to use an old-fashioned word, it was a bit dicey at times, if you know what I mean. And then with everybody talking, you just hope that the train trip, which everybody wanted, would be peaceful, would be successful. And I believe it was. And I think the impression given was the number of people coming from the south to the north.
Were you worried, or was the committee worried, that there might be some people going up on the train that could be troublemakers?
Well, that's true. But the funny thing is, I remember not having that feeling. And I remember getting out at Portadown and sort of wondering who might be getting in there or whatever. And you just hoped for the best, really. I mean, I'm quite sure there were lots of aggravated people, and we were taunted from time to time at the meetings on the main square there in Portadown. But that particular day was a good day. It was a good day.
How many trains between the first one and the last one? How many journeys?
And all the Peace Train, that was really, if you like, individual in itself. And then they regarded then, I think a lot of train journeys following that, is this, hopefully this will be a peace train. And by that was meant they hoped there'd be no trouble, you know. Right. Exactly.
So that's what they're all calling. If
exactly. And that every train following should be a peace train. And many were. Many were. There were the usual gang, as I said, that threw stones, which sometimes you could have. It was a fear of that. But it eased itself out a bit. We got to know the guy at the station there, and he'd welcome us and everything. We got to know all the everyday people in the station for years after us going up to Portadown, and looking back and realising, wow, you know, things have changed. It was lovely.
John, you mentioned Portadown quite a lot talking to me up until now. What was so special about Portadown?
Portadown was very different in many ways. And if I can put it and use the word with respect, a lot of Protestant people live there, okay, in today's world, that's very normal. And a lot of people, a lot of things happened. I had a friend, Isabel Highlands, at least she became my friend. She did a wonderful exhibition out by the sea at Craigavon, right? And she brought that to the Mansion House. And that had mentioned the thousands at that stage, over 2,000 people that had lost their lives through the Troubles. And she was a wonderful person. And all of this, I think that peace train would have played a part in connecting, shall we say, the train up there and connecting the people likewise.
Now, when you got to Belfast, you got great reception up there.
We did. We had the Lord Mayor of the day, and we had different people like that. We had lots of the committee that was up there, and everybody came out. And it was early enough, because I remember coming back. It was still early enough when we arrived back at Eamon Street at the time, you know. And they were all there. Lots of people. Some of the big names, one mightn't have seen them too much. But they were aware of all that was happening. And the principles, I think, of the people who were going to run life on the ground, they were there, and that was most important.
There was bands, and there was singing. If you're Irish, come into the parlour, and all of that out on the streets in Belfast.
It was serious stuff, wasn't it? Extraordinary. I mean, all the Irish connection and the sayings and all of that weren't forgotten. And of course, not forgetting the people who at that time would want to have been sightseers of the whole thing away in America, where half our young people were over in America, half our young people were working in jobs in England.
How long did you stay in Belfast that day?
We were in Belfast. I remember going up, I think it was about 8 o'clock or something in the morning, and we were able to come back around lunchtime. So it wasn't too long. Yeah. No.
Any protests at all?
There were some. Funnily enough, let's say we were talking about good young people a while ago. Maybe some of those got caught up, and this was the thing to do, because there were children, as we know, all during those years that wouldn't have known anything about the Troubles. They weren't even born today, and yet they will go out and try to, you know, cause maybe a little bit of trouble and that sort of thing. But no, I think people felt quite safe there, and there was a big crowd, which meant an awful lot. Actually, the number of people on the train, that meant an awful lot. It meant an awful
did
lot
you
going
go,
up.
Did you stay around the area of the station, or did you go further afield?
Well, I remember going out, a train coming in from Derry, and people coming off that. And I remember there were, I'd say, dignitaries on that as well. Derry was a place not frequented very often at that time, but the people did come from there. There was a real interest from all those areas that people mightn't have seen for a long, long time, you know.
What about, John, as regards the Sinn Féin and the Workers Party and all of the you know,
yes.
Were they in support of the The IRA weren't, of course, because no. It was them you were trying to to stop.
Manchester Rossa, who was a very prominent figure, he was part of our peace train. And we used to go to meetings over at Merrion Square, and he was always there, you know. And we used to maybe at first, I remember going to the first meeting and seeing him. He lived up near a girl I knew that had gone to school. And some people might have mistaken, is he good or is he bad, or Workers' Party? You know, the way the different parties had different significant names
within
to them.
And within.
Indeed. Yeah. But he was very good. He stayed with us, I remember, for a few years, all right.
Joan Burton was involved there as well.
Joan Burton, I think, yes, she came in maybe so initially, but not too much relating to peace train, shall we say.
You know. John, what support or lack of it did you get from the government at the time, or the Irish government?
Well, the government were sort of in a puzzlement as what was going to happen. Peace train, we had different collections and different things and people who were interested in it. And I never remember myself being on the street after about the first 9 months where I then had joined it. And, you know, so Chris was involved, GPO communications, phone, all of that. He had a big job there. He had a lot of connections. Pete St. John, if I can remember, there were concerts. There's also a wonderful concert that was way up Dame Street. I remember years afterwards, our little friend Jean McConville, who died, her children, now grown up, met us over memorabilia stuff. And of course, they were in Temple Town here. And I remember meeting them in this church, I think it was a Protestant church, away up there, the link, what do you call that place, up if you go on up Thomas Street and up that area. Yes, yes, that's right, Christ Church. And there were lots of things like that that happened. So I would assume that there were some helpers, all right, along the way, you know, that helped to keep it going.
Looking back on it now, Joan, had it any impression on the peace process?
It had, in a way. It probably was the duration of about 6 years or so.
It's actually, I think, I was looking at the dates there, Joan. It was seven, I think.
The seven, that's right. Yeah. From about 88, 89 to 95, something like that. Yeah. And then Chris left. That was a big loss. And then we felt there was nothing more we can do because your train journeys were relatively safe. And I think they wanted just in, let's say, even though that was political, but it was political in a different way. And I think they were happy that what the train had done, we hoped, was now almost finished. And then the people went their different ways. We kept in touch over a period of time. But in that time, having been over in Warrington and different places, there were different beautiful concerts that were held all around the Christchurch area and people coming to that. And they would have been all in relation to peace train.
We must mention, of course, that there was a rally held in Oriel Park.
Oh, yes, indeed, here in Dundalk. Indeed, there was a big, big rally. And I think I wasn't there that day. And unfortunately, but I believe it was quiet and it was very, very good. And of course, Brendan McGann, late Brendan McGann, he was great. He came up to all the peace trains. He was wonderful. And that was very interesting. A lot of people locally that I would remember. In fact, my next door neighbour said to me that somebody said to her, do you live beside Joan? And she said, Joan who? Joan Brady. Was she in the peace train? And I think that's a nephew of Brendan McGann going up for election, John or somebody, that just said it to her. And then Bernie, who wasn't living beside me at all at the time, she was actually living in the north, way up, and she said, oh yes, she said, you know, I think there might be a revival of the peace train, because if we look back and we look at what's ahead, we hope that one event and one form of transport would now be regarded as safe.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get something now with the word Brexit, but in a train? I don't know how
Brexit.
You would. Yeah. And would, looking back on it now, have been your most enjoyable part of your life?
That's a very good question. The friends I met, I won't say more, but really compensated me for the horrors that happened. And knowing them, it was so wonderful. I mean, the lady that looked after Portadown and who came down and did the different events we had in Dublin and a radio programme, and they opened it all up, never forgetting that it was before then when I had got on to Bride Rosny and hoped that everything would be okay. And the peace train coming in the middle of that. And to me, that might have been a journey of, you know, worry, anxiety. But I think the whole journey of what I experienced in the North, in all its doom, all its gloom, but in all its rewards. And that to me, and people might think, like, why would I say that was a happy time? I met wonderful people. I was deeply upset when I heard that Anna had died. A wonderful motivator in Portadown. And Portadown now, we went up to Portadown after the peace train, my friend in Dublin. And we went into the shops we felt we couldn't go into before. We bought our little bits of memorabilia.
And did you know you were involved
in it? Yes, indeed. And there were lots of photographs taken. I mean, I must add this. I got a phone call one day from what I thought might have been an undesirable chap. He was a member of a few places and he didn't give me his name. But he said to me, I heard you talking about a lot of different things that happened. And he said, I think he said I was going up the wrong road. And he said, I now have come out of that place now. Never knew his name, didn't know how he got my telephone number. And for a little while after that, I wondered. But I would like to think that if only one person had changed their way in the bad way of life, that one person did.
The peace train did it.
The peace train.
Joan, can I thank you very much indeed for talking to me, Annette. But until I started looking back on the things, it's a wonderful, wonderful few years and well, well done.
Well, thank you very much, Harry. And it's a pleasure to be able to remember and talk to you and try to tell you so many things which you gave me the time for. I really appreciate that very much.
Listen to lots more epic interviews at gatheringheritage.com.